regular session from executive session. Need a motion to come back to the regular session?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Jones, second, Mr. Phillips, to come back into regular session from executive session. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Okay, we have Mr. Lank.
But we still have that matter that was moved
right
following executive session.
Hickory Run subdivision.
Right.
Appeal. Are you handling that, Mr. Lank, or? Mr. Baker?
Start it off if
who
you
wants
like.
To do it?
Yeah. I'll start it off if you like.
Okay.
On October 1st, we did receive a request for an appeal of a decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission for the proposed Hickory Run subdivision. And the County Council has several options as per the correspondence that you've received. One would be to send this back to Planning and Zoning for further review and consideration. Another would be to uphold what Planning and Zoning's decision. And then the other option would be to reverse the decision of Planning and Zoning Commission. And the council has 60 days, County Council has 60 days to make a decision, which would be by November 27th. And this is our first appeal with the new appeal process.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You got anything to say?
Not much to ask me.
I guess if you would like to, if you would like to uphold what the Planning and Zoning Commission ruled, we have a proposed motion.
Much pleasure, gentlemen.
Mr. President, after review of the transcript as required under the new provisions, I'd like to entertain a motion.
Mr. Rogers.
Hickory Run subdivision appeal. I move that the Sussex County Council uphold the and affirm the decision of the commission denying the approval of the preliminary plan for the Hickory Run subdivision in application 2006-25 on the basis that the Planning and Zoning Commission did not make an error in its interpretation of the applicable provisions and subdivision and cluster ordinances, and for further reason that the commission's findings and conclusions were the result of an orderly and logical review of the evidence and the applicable provisions of Chapter 99. And further, the Sussex County Council agrees with the Commission's conclusion that the applicant failed to prove sufficient compliance with the 17 criteria set forth by Chapter 99-9C and failed to establish that the proposed cluster subdivision would have provided a superior environment to the standard 3/4 acre subdivision. I'd like to put that in form of motion, Mr. President.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Rogers, second to Mr. Cole, and motion is just read by Mr. Rogers. Any questions on the motion? Being none, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Okay, we're here for tonight for three public hearings. And some of you people came in after we were in executive session, I see. And at the beginning of the meeting, I asked permission from the council to rearrange the three public hearings, having reason to believe that probably conditional use 1703 is going to be the longest of the ones tonight. And being fair to the 1704 and 1706, I thought they'd probably move along pretty quick. We're going to take 1704 first, 1706, and then conditional use 1703. If you're not familiar with how we do our public hearings, I will ask our attorney, Mr. Griffin, to explain how we conduct our public hearings, a little different from planning and zoning. And then he will start with the first one, 1704. Mr. Griffin.
Thank you. When council holds public hearings on zoning matters, they're legislative hearings. Council uses the information they obtained during the hearing to decide whether or not to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant.
Everybody got
the procedure we'll follow is that after each application is announced, Mr. Lank will tell council what happened at the Planning and Zoning Commission, whether the commission made a decision, or deferred it, and if they made a decision, the basis of their decision. After Mr. Lank has given that introduction, County Council will be given a chance to ask any questions they would like to ask of Mr. Lank after they clearly understand the proposition that's being put forth on each application. We'll then call on the applicant, the person who filed the application. They'll come forward and present their case as to why they feel their application should be granted. After they've been allowed to do that, we'll then ask if there's anyone else other than the applicant who's present who is in support of the application. Then we'll ask if anybody is present in opposition to the application. If you indicate that you wish to come up and address an issue, it's not necessary to line up. We'll let everybody have a chance to speak. When you do come forward to the podium, we need you to make your statement from the podium because we have a recording system that takes everything down. And you need to state your name and your address because if there's ever a need to prepare a typewritten transcript of this, we need to know who's saying what. So if you just say, my name is, and I live at certain address, and then make your statement after that, we'd appreciate it. After everybody has been given a chance to speak, then what happens next is that council decides what action they will take. However, if planning and zoning deferred an action and didn't make a recommendation, council will also defer because planning and zoning has 45 days to make their recommendation. And that 45 days is not yet up. So council will defer until after they get the recommendation of planning and zoning, and then at a future meeting of council, it'll be put back on the agenda for decision after we have the commission's recommendation. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off or turn it to silent service. Does anyone have any questions about the procedure we'll be following?
Just these.
Thank you. Mr. Lank?
Yes, thank you. Conditional use number 1704 is the application of PMP Associates to consider the conditional use of land in a GR General Residential District for health care and medical offices to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 33.045 acres, more or less, lying on the southerly side of Zion Church Road, also known as Road 382. And 1/4 mile west of Byard Road, also known as Road 384. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on October 25th of 2007. Commission received comments from DLDOT, the Sussex Conservation District, and the County Engineering Department. We also received letters in support of the application from Bay 20 LLC, Thomas Haberstadt on behalf of Carl M. Freeman Companies, and Stephanie Hansen, counsel for Twin Cedars LLC. Prior to the meeting, some days prior, the applicant had provided a site plan and exhibit booklet and a supplemental booklet. I believe the councilmen all have copies of the exhibit booklet before them, and I have the one copy of the supplemental documents, which included a rare species survey, habitat assessment report, a forest stand delineation, a traffic impact study, and DLDOT review letter, a original land revised wetland delineation report prepared by JCM Environmental, copies of deeds, also maps, a series of maps being ortho maps, tax map, land use map, zoning map, and a USGS quad map. Dr. Paul Brown and Dr. Mark Brown of PMP Associates were present with James Fuquay, attorney, Bill Carello, an advisor, and Ted Williams of Landmark Engineering, and gave testimony. Lawrence Long and Dennis Smith, area residents, spoke in support of the application. There were no parties present in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed this application. And on October 25th of 07, the commission deferred action for further consideration and to leave the record open until the close of business on November 8th, 2007 for receipt of the plus response. And that motion carried 5-0, and the commission has yet to act on this application. And I've received no additional comments from any individual or agency to date. That's all I have, gentlemen.
Is the applicant present?
Yes, Mr. Griffin, for the record. My name is James Fuqua. I'm the attorney representing the applicant, PMP Associates. PMP is comprised of Dr. Mark Brown, Dr. Paul Brown, and Dr. Peter Suback. Paul Brown and Pete Suback are here with me tonight. Also with me is Bill Carello, who is a business advisor, and Ted Williams with Landmark Engineering. As Mr. Lank stated, there was an exhibit packet that was submitted, and Lawrence, I did have some extra ones that I just gave to Mr. Griffin. Also, there was a document book that's, there's a cover letter in the exhibit book that I gave you indicating what exhibits had been submitted for the record. This is a conditional use application for a healthcare and medical office complex. It'll contain a maximum of 102 square feet of floor space located in six buildings. And I do understand that you have a busy agenda tonight. And for me, I'll try to be as brief as I can, understanding the agenda you do have. The site is located on the south side of Route 20, which is Zion Church Road. It's just west of Johnson's Corner. The site contains 33 acres. The proposed development would basically be located on approximately the front half of the property, or approximately 16 acres. The rear half of the property contains some non-tidal wetlands and is wooded, and there's no plans for development of that portion of the property with this application. This basically is showing the entire property. The development, again, is on the front portion, which is for the most part cleared. The rear portion of the property, again, there's no plans for development of that portion back here. There's wetlands contained back in this portion of the wooded area. The land is currently zoned GR, General Residential, which, as you know, permits single-family dwellings and manufactured homes on individual lots at a density of 4 units per acre. There are several nearby properties on Route 20 that are zoned for business use. That's shown on the tax map that's Exhibit C of the exhibit book. And those existing uses in the area are a car sales lot, a grocery store, and apartments. As I stated, our application is for a conditional use for healthcare and medical offices. And also, as you know, the zoning ordinance states that conditional uses are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of residents of that area. And we believe that our requested use fully meets the intention of that conditional use ordinance. This area, as you know, contains several residential subdivisions, and this area has been increasing in population significantly over the past decade. This site is located less than 2 miles north of Route 54, and the intersection of Route 20 and Route 54 is actually the entrance to the Americana Bayside development, which is a large residential, retail, and recreational development that will ultimately contain 1,700 units within that development. The whole Route 54 area is an extensively developed area. There's many existing residential developments. I have a whole list of them, which I'll skip because I know you know the area. But Swan Keys, Kenwick Sound, and as I said, Americana Bayside are some of the larger developments. In addition, just south of our site on Route 20 is the Brandywine Assisted Living development, which is a continuing care facility which is currently under construction. And you might recall that that actually was approved as part of the Americana Bayside RPC. The development pattern in that area is moving northward on Route 20. In addition to our application before you tonight, there are or will be two other pending applications. One is the Woods at Johnson's Corner, which is a property located next to us. That will be a subdivision application. And also, there's a proposed application for redevelopment of the apartment complex, which is the Twin Cedars apartment complex, and that's going to basically be redeveloped. The state strategies plan designates this area as a level 4 area, but I believe that designation really predates the reality of the growth that has occurred and continues to occur in the area. And you may recall that in July of this year, the area residents, by a vote of approximately 3-1, approved the creation of the Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District, and that was officially created by the council in August of this year. And certainly the proposal for and the creation of that new sewer district is an indication by the county that not only growth is occurring here, but that the county is taking affirmative action to accommodate that growth in this area. The PMP parcel before you tonight, as well as the Woods proposal and the Twin Cedar proposal, are all within this new Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District. And it's certainly expected that area will be designated as a growth area in the revised land use plan and on the state strategies maps. Exhibit D of the exhibit book that I submitted is a letter from the County Engineering Office confirming the creation of the sewer district. With the currently existing and expected future population growth in this area, there's a strong need for health care and medical services for the residents. And this is particularly true because, as you know from other applications, many of the residents who are moving here are older. Our current land use plan, as well as the draft of the new plan, recognizes this demographic trend. And from the statistics for the state of Delaware, Sussex County has a much older population as compared to both Kent and Newcastle counties. And the plan recognizes that that's significant because older residents have some special needs, and the availability of medical services is probably the most important of those needs. At current, there is not adequate medical services available in this area. Area residents need to travel to Lewis and the BB Hospital or to Salisbury and Peninsula General Hospital for many medical services. The new facility will not only create medical services that are convenient and nearby to area residents, but it will also make the drive to Lewis or Salisbury unnecessary. And again, as you know, in the summer months, that can be a difficult and time-consuming drive. Now, what's envisioned by this application for health care and medical offices is more than just traditional doctor's offices. The ultimate makeup of the complex will depend on market factors, but the intention and the vision is to basically have traditional physicians' offices for different specialties, such as orthopedic, cardiologist, and others, but also to have outpatient services such as X-ray, MRI, and CAT scan services in an imaging center, physical therapy and rehab, a sleep lab, a pain management center, an outpatient surgery center, a cardio lab, and a medical aid unit, which would provide services for non-life-threatening conditions and emergencies. The facilities that I mentioned would be Medicare certified, and they would be licensed by the state of Delaware where required. As I stated, the development will be served by County Sewer as part of the new Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District. All sewer infrastructure will be built to county standards. PMP has entered into a memorandum of understanding with the other proposed developers in that area to contribute to the initial sewer construction requirements on an agreed-to equitable basis, and a copy of that MOU is in Exhibit D of the exhibit book. Water will be provided by Artesian Water Company, a public regulated water company providing water for domestic use and fire protection. There's already a 16-inch water main that exists along Route 20 in front of the property. Fire protection will be provided by the Roxana Volunteer Fire Company. All buildings will have sprinkler systems and comply with fire marshal requirements. Representatives of the applicant did meet with the representatives of the fire company as well as the fire marshal's office. They reviewed the plans. They made some suggestions that will be incorporated into the final site plan of the proposed complex. As part of the planning process for this application, a traffic impact study was completed by Worth Rogers based on DLDOT instructions. That TIS was reviewed and accepted by DLDOT, and basically certain recommendations were made, which will be the responsibility of the applicant. And in summary, what that is DLDOT will require the developer to enter into a traffic signal agreement for Route 20 and the site access, also a signal agreement for Route 20 and the Johnson's Road, Byard Road intersection, as well as bicycle and pedestrian easements and improvements at the site. Also, as part of the planning process, there were a wetland delineation performed by JCM Environmental, and that has been submitted to the Army Corps of Engineers for approval. And part of the site design, the wetlands that are located to the rear of the property back in here, a 50-foot buffer was provided from the 404 wetlands from the developed site. And again, as you know, the 50-foot buffer is required from tidal wetlands. These are not tidal wetlands. These are 404 wetlands, and that's being done as part of the plan. There was also a forest stand delineation report that was prepared and a rare and threatened species report. Basically, as I indicated, the front of the property is mostly cleared. That's where the development will occur. The rear of the property is mostly wooded and contains wetlands and animal habitat, and that will, under this plan, remain in its natural state. In designing the site layout, there was an attempt to utilize some of the suggestions that are contained in the community design element of the comp plan. There will be significant street trees and native landscaping provided, appropriate street lighting that will be downward and directional, extensive sidewalk with pedestrian orientation on the site. There originally was parking provided in the front of Building 1, which was up in here. And at the suggestion of the county at PLUS, that parking was removed in order to create a more landscaped and attractive front. It was a good suggestion from Mr. Katz, and that was incorporated into the site design. I think it's in Exhibit B of the book, there is an exhibit showing the proposed appearance of the buildings. Conceptual drawing of Building 1. Again, from the community design element of the code or the comp plan, what was tried to be developed here architecturally were pitched roofs, various roof lines, which add to some visual interest in the buildings rather than just a very plain appearance. I'll just quickly...
Is that you in front of that building there, Mr. Fuquay?
That's you? Kramer's right here.
Oh, Kramer. Okay.
He's gone. The site plan, again, what you'll see there is there's one entrance off of Route 20, just south of the of Building 1. There will be decel and acceleration lanes and other improvements, as I mentioned, by DLDOT's review of the TIS. There'll be extensive landscaping along the entrance as well as along neighboring properties. I mentioned that the parking was removed from the front of Building 1. There'll be a total of 6 buildings. They vary in size from 15,000 square feet to 20,000 square feet. Again, extensive sidewalk interconnection connecting the buildings and the parking areas. The internal drives are as shown. Parking will meet the requirements for this square footage. 450 parking spaces would be required. There's slightly over 500 that will be provided, including the required mix of handicap parking spaces. Directional lighting within the parking areas. The trash receptacle pads will be screened. There's plenty of room for a bus stop that could be incorporated into this, providing we can coordinate that with the bus service that is or will be developed in this area. What's envisioned is to try to have a campus-like element to the complex, so people can walk, people can sit outside, have lunch, or just socialize, have some benches, picnic tables, sheltered areas, for employees, number one, and also for the public. As you know, if you go to for some of these tests and things like that, lots of times you have to wait there. You're there for a while. It'll give people an opportunity to go out and walk around and do things like that. Or lots of times people who are having tests done are brought there by a friend or a family member, and this will permit an outdoor environment, weather permitting. It is a health campus. There'd be no smoking permitted in any of the buildings or on the campus itself. Stormwater management areas are shown. Stormwater management will be handled by a combination of biofiltration swales and biofiltration strips, and then stormwater basins, as you can see on the plan. I mentioned the 50-foot buffer from the wetlands to the rear. There will be an existing drainage ditch that will be relocated. It will not be interfered with. It'll be piped, and that'll be done through required permits. The woods will remain on the rear of the property. That is a contiguous block of woodlands, and that basic will be preserved as that currently exists. The plan that we presented to the Planning Commission had a designated helicopter pad down in this area here, which could be done. Mr. Lang pointed out that would require additional conditional use application. So we remove that. We will preserve the area where that would be, and when it's appropriate, we probably will pursue that as a separate conditional use. There's really no intention that this would be used as a helicopter site at all. It was purely being put in there for emergency use, and in fact, it was one of the things that was discussed with the fire marshal's office and the fire department, and would be available for state police, whoever else would need it in emergency conditions. But we recognize that that is not part of this application and would require an additional application for that proposed use. The development will be phased, and by that I just mean one building is going to be built at a time. Phasing is going to be based on market conditions and demand. The actual size and the layout of the offices within a building will generally be customized to the user. The complex will be set up as a condominium, so offices could be sold, or they could be retained by the developers and rent it, and that'll be, again, as the market dictates. A commercial condominium is the same as a residential condominium. The owners of the different offices, based on their square footage, contribute to the maintenance costs of the building and the common areas and the management of the complex. Hours of operation would be, you know, generally with medical offices, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. However, with some type of offices, they do have earlier hours. I know if you've ever had blood work or things like that done where you have to fast, people like to go early as soon as it opens, 6:30 or something, because they can't have their coffee, so they want to get it done and get it over with. In addition, one of the medical units proposed here, as I said, would be a medical aid unit. And again, depending on the circumstances, it's certainly conceivable that would be open 24 hours a day as needed. It's estimated that at full operation of the 102,000 square feet that's proposed, there'd be a total of between 200 and 250 permanent medical-related jobs created within the complex. And in addition, of course, the complex will create economic benefit to the county in the form of sewer impact fees, user fees, transfer taxes, and property taxes. In the exhibit booklet that I submitted to you, in Exhibit G, there are proposed conditions. In Exhibit H, there are proposed findings. When we went to the Planning and Zoning Commission, this application did go to PLUS. And our response to the PLUS, the original PLUS letter, has been sent to the Office of State Planning Coordination. We're awaiting their comments on that, and Planning and Zoning has not yet made a recommendation, so I understand that you would not be voting on this until you receive that recommendation. We think that this conditional use application truly is essential and desirable for the convenience and the welfare of the people who live in this part of Sussex County. We certainly hope that you agree and will approve this again after the plus response is received. And that will conclude our presentation. I apologize if I tried to speed this up and a little bit out of breath.
I don't blame you.
Just want to get out of the way, I hope.
Well, could you, while you're there, could I ask some questions?
You certainly can, Mr. Cole.
The I'm reading Ms. Connie Holland's, I guess, the plus report.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't sound real good.
Well,
you guys. It sounds like you, I mean, I can't find anything that's really saying this is a project they support. I mean, they actually say they, the state is opposed to the project.
And there's
and throughout the whole thing.
And I can give a response to that. The state is absolutely wrong, period.
Your response was, you believe that it's in a growth area, but every document that the state or the county has says it's not.
That's not true, Mr. Cole. You, the county council, created a sewer district for this area in August.
Right.
Why would you create a sewer district in an area that isn't growing?
Show me where it's. I know, but we haven't changed anything. It's not in a growth area, correct? Is there a document that says it's in a growth area, other than we've got a proposed sewer district, because there was a couple communities that had problems with sewer?
You didn't approve the sewer district for a couple communities. You created it for a whole area.
The county council did. I don't say I did, but the county council, yes, they did, yes.
Well, and again, I'm referring to the county council.
I'm sure Connie Holland is aware of that situation, and yet their department is still opposes it because it's in it's still a level 4 area, right? It hadn't changed.
Mr. Cole, my dealings with the state planning office, once they put that level 4 on it, they have blinders on. They don't consider anything else, and all you get are boilerplate comments from state planning that it's in a level 4. Now, I tried to explain why I think they're incorrect. I think their designation really predates the reality of what's happening in that area. And, you know, you may disagree with me, but that's my opinion.
Well, I haven't seen much change there. I mean, the few communities that have sewer problems are still there, and there's not much else there. Not much has changed in the last. I haven't seen much new growth in Johnson's Crossroads.
And again, I'm not questioning you, but my point would be, when you, the county council, create a sewer district, all right, you're not going to create a sewer district for an area that you don't expect to develop. It would be totally illogical. It would make no sense.
Well, nobody said. I mean, I didn't support the sewer district, so I agree with it. It is illogical.
But whether you support it or not, it happened.
Yes, it did, didn't it? But anyway, well, let me go back to the plus report. I mean, just that they pointed out the problems with the soils. They said I read here somewhere where it was I don't know what. Let me see where if I can find that. It's hard to flip through this such a big report.
There's a large area of wetlands on the site.
Yeah, and it says the soils are just inappropriate for development.
No, the wetlands are located, as I told you, in the wooded area to the rear that we're not touching.
The wetlands are, but it just said basically the most of the soils on this parcel, an estimated 70 to 75% are mapped as wetlands-associated hydric soils. It should be noted that the majority of these soils in this part are likely to have seasonal high water table, et cetera, et cetera. So 75% of the thing is has got soil problems.
No, there aren't soil problems. They're associated with wetlands that are located on the site. We have a wetland delineation that was completed. The areas we're developing are appropriate. And most importantly, there's not going to be on-site septic system or an on-site treatment system. It's going to be a county sewer.
It just said, okay, it's referencing the high water. It's referencing the types of soils are just not suitable for a development of this size. It doesn't sound.
It doesn't say that.
I can't find anything
it says
there.
It says it's wetlands associated.
What?
It doesn't say about development at all.
If you'll read the sentence when it's under soils. Are you looking at that one on page 5 of 16?
Absolutely.
That first paragraph, the last sentence references a 70-75%. The sentence before that says, if you look at the last couple of words, has a highest level for development there. It doesn't sound like it's saying it's a good place for development.
Well, Mr. Cole, again, if you look at the site, and as I said, the front area is cleared, and as you know, when land's cleared, it's because it's basically suitable for farming. So that's why that was cleared. The rest of it wasn't cleared. because it wasn't suitable for farming because of soil conditions and wetlands. And as I said, we're recognizing that as a fact and a historic fact. We're not touching the rear portion of the property.
Another one on the TMDLs, it says this project is located in a low nutrient reduction area requiring 40% reduction in nitrogen and phosphorus, which is, again, not a good, it should be high. High is better than low.
But once you're on county sewer, it basically solves most of that problem.
Oh, it does.
Okay.
I don't know, I just can't find many of the agencies, Department of Agriculture, none of them have anything that's favorable to this project, it's just
because you believe it's going to be a development district is all I can see is your belief.
Anything else, Mr. Fuqua?
No.
Anyone here? Excuse me. Move. Does that conclude your presentation?
Yes.
Is there anyone here who wishes to speak either in favor of this application or in opposition to this application? Let the record show that no one asked to be recognized. We've got to defer on this. What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
It was a public hearing. Let them read the...
Public hearing is now closed.
All right. I need a motion to defer on...
Is the record open for planning and zoning, Mr. Lang?
Wow. Record is open pending receipt of the plus comments that were supposed, hopefully, to be received by November 8th. We haven't received them yet.
I believe it'd be appropriate if we'd leave it open for the same thing.
I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Haven't received any. The response yet.
Yep. So the record will remain open until council gets those comments.
Right.
So, okay, you're going to leave the whole record open?
Well, plus. For that particular purpose.
Just for the receipt of those comments.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I need a motion.
Make a motion. We defer on conditional use number 1704 PMP Associates, leaving the record open for the plus response to PNC.
I have a motion, Mr. Rogers, seconded by Mr. Jones, to defer on CU 1704, leaving the record open for state planning office to, or the plus commission to their comments. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes. Motion is carried.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mr. Schrader. Fuqua?